general manager, as we like to call him, managing general of the Toronto Blue Jays, has wandered in. How you feeling today? You're not sick at all, because opening day you usually go down with
it's
something.
It's a great excuse to avoid all this, but I got to tell you, I'm impressed. The sunglasses indoors.
Well, is there light in here?
That's right. I figured Brun would be wearing them too.
No, I'm not allowed. That's one of the. That's in the deal.
We're just talking about the spongy grass. It's really, boy, I tell you, I don't think anybody's going to hit a ball through the infield.
You know what's funny? Because I came out at 11:30 in the morning. It's exactly what I said. Why I said, "Wow, this is really soft. And it's going to be slow, but it just seems softer, a lot softer than I remember."
Well, I just mentioned Dickey came out and rolled a ball from home plate out towards shortstop, and he threw it pretty good. Didn't get out of the infield.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone said that the second bounce, because I was actually asking. Some of our coaches, especially, you know, you see the outfielders, a ball falls in. Players that haven't played here before, there's a good chance it's going over their head.
Yeah.
But they said the second bounce, it just dies. And, you know, it's interesting. I remember reading a comment from Torrey Hunter when he was at Anaheim years ago, I think 2010 or 11, talking about how it felt sometimes like you ran in sand and like you're being on a beach for 2 or 3 hours. And it's new. It's great. It does feel a little soft, though.
No, but the seams are supposed to be better, right? That's safety wise. This is supposed to be better.
Yeah,
right.
I noticed obviously all of the seams, and I took a look as well. But no, it's supposed to be significantly improved. And anytime you have new turf, it's certainly a good thing for our players.
Well, and I don't want to dwell on the turf. We're not here to talk about the turf because 99.999% of the people watching or listening today are never going to be down here. But the one thing I noticed that's interesting is the configuration of the fake grass on the warning track is the same as it is on the field, which raises the question, well, if I'm not looking down, how do I know I'm on the warning track?
Great question. That's a really good question. And
because it wasn't like this. The last configuration was a little bit different.
Yeah, and is it here? It feels a certain way. I wonder in the outfield if it feels the same. If you actually step on that, does it feel the same? I don't know. I haven't gone out there. I would guess maybe the amount of rubber that they put in, it's a little different. I think there's certainly going to be a feeling. Yeah, and I mean, again, certainly here you don't, but I'm not sure. And obviously in the outfield, maybe it's a little bit, there's a change there so players know.
Now, I know in your job you take the long view by definition, but just take the short view for a minute. How'd that first week look to you?
Good. A lot of good things. Again, I'll say this to stay consistent. There will be a time where we lose 4 or 5 in a row, maybe more. And I'm going to say I don't want to overweigh a 5-game snapshot or a 10-game snapshot. But the encouraging part was a lot of the play we saw in spring training carried over to the season. A lot of things that we emphasized in the offseason. We wanted to be at a better defensive club. We wanted a deeper lineup with contact bats and guys that can grind some at bats. We did some of those things. We continued. The bullpen, I know it's early, but I feel it's going to be a pretty good bullpen when it's all said and done. And the only concern right now, and I don't even know if that's the appropriate word, is you just want to get our rotation on a roll where we're getting 6-plus innings every time out. It's going to make everybody better. And with the offense, and I believe what should be a good bullpen, I think we're going to win a lot of games.
So let me take you back 8 weeks, give or take, and you get to Dunedin, and you're starting to put the pieces together on this thing. Did you figure your team would be anywhere near this young?
Definitely thought there was a scenario. I mean, when we traded, there's a few scenarios. Travis was a guy, I think, when we acquired him, we said we hope that he can take that job. And all of our reports, our scouts felt, look, this guy's got a very good chance. If he comes into spring training, very good chance of winning the job. There were opportunities to sign some free agents or make some trades. We didn't eliminate those, but we didn't pursue them in a strong manner because we had some confidence that Travis could do it. And just because of his offensive profile, he's a contact bat.
Right.
He can draw some walks. He can run a little bit. Defensively, our report said he was average but could really turn two. He was in Erie last year because they had Ian Kinsler at the big league level. They had guys at the triple-A level. They never had a chance to move him up. With any other club, he probably would have been at the big league level as a 24-year-old. So, and in terms of the young arms, you take a year earlier when we had Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, Drew Hutchinson. They all went to the Arizona Fall League. We followed a similar course this year with Osuna, but he needed the innings as much as anything else. And Miguel Castro, I wanted him to go to the Fall League, but our player development staff felt strongly that after being an instructional league, he had thrown enough and he didn't need to go there. So Castro's not a surprise. Osuna came on a little sooner than I expected, strictly because stuff and velocity was there. Command was not. he was further removed from Tommy John, and he came a little sooner than I expected.
Were you reluctant? Were you reluctant to bring two 20-year-olds on the pitching staff, albeit in the bullpen?
Not at all. Again, we never looked at the date of birth. It's irrelevant for us. I mentioned this in an article. The plate is the plate. Spring training, throwing strikes is stuff. So, and that was part of why we brought Martin. I mean, we talked about it. We have a wave of young arms coming. The way our payroll's set up, the way the roster's set up, we were going to need to supplement with some 0-3 players. And look, there were plenty of opportunities in the offseason. We were asked about Miguel Castro in trade. We were asked about Roberto Osuna in trade to get established players. We were asked about Norris, Aaron Sanchez as well. We wanted to keep those guys. We felt that they could help us.
Right.
I mean, the hardest part of the Donaldson trade was trading Kendall Graveman because of what he could do for the club right now. That's not to say Barreto's not going to be a very good player, and obviously Brett would have helped us as well. But Graveman was the one that we agonized over the most because of the impact that he could have had on the current club.
Mm.
There's been a little bit of talk about, you know, where your payroll is right now, Alex, which is 120-something million. I forget what the number is, but it's been published. Is that a number designed to allow you flexibility later in the season at the deadline or somewhere else if you need to make a move?
Yes, we have, and that's something I think in years past we had a number and we normally would spend it in the off season, and we always had the ability to have a discussion if there was a player to add. But again, we weren't. I learned this from a few years ago. I used the Francisco Cordero example. We had a deal done with the Rangers. We traded Carlos Perez for Koji Uehara. With the Rangers. He had been left off the World Series roster with the Rangers. He wasn't going to fit on that club. And he was making $4.5 million. That's someone that we really wanted. He had a three or five team no trade clause. We happened to be on that. We spent the week trying to convince him to waive it, offered to fly to Japan. He said it's a cultural thing. Once he signed a contract, he didn't want to deviate from the terms of his deal. We had $4.5 million remaining. Francisco Cordero was out there. It's not someone that we were going to target in free agency. He talked about getting 2x $8 million a year. Now he was available on a one-year deal at $4.5 million. And rather than focusing on our process and whether he was a fit for us, we got caught up in the deal rather than whether we had targeted the player. And Uehara is the guy that we targeted. So we spent it. And I think this was the same thing in the winter. There was a lot of players that were out there that people viewed as a deal and their market should have been greater, but they weren't a fit for us and we weren't going to force a signing if we didn't believe they were a fit for us. I'd rather wait for an opportunity to present itself, whether it's spring training or during the summer.
So the money's not burning a hole in your pocket, but you have it, right?
Yes, yes, it's great. It's outstanding to have that type of flexibility right now. We've got the ability to go add a lot of various players because we didn't spend to our total amount right now, so we've got some room there. And it wasn't by design. If there was opportunities in the winter to get players that we liked and wanted at our price, we would have done it. But we weren't going to force a signing for someone that we weren't really going after to begin with.
Did you think there was a problem in the clubhouse last year?
No, I wouldn't say there was a problem. I do think that there was an opportunity to improve it. But again, I think you can look at a few things last year. People talked about the trade deadline. We won the first game after the trade deadline, and then we hit a slump. But again, we lost Encarnacion, we lost Laurie, we lost Lind. Then in September, we started rolling again the first few weeks. We got an injection. We started playing well. We played well in May. I do think the bullpen was a big part of being let down last year. We were really low in terms of our AL rank in the bullpen, and that could have had an impact of 3 or 4 games, which ultimately would have got us to the wild card game. All that said, there was definitely an emphasis this offseason to bring high-character guys into the clubhouse, and partly because we knew we were going to have some youth on this club, or a good chance.
Mm-hmm.
Youth was going to start filtering into that clubhouse and having examples and role models. And remember when we told Dalton Pompey he made the team, and I think Travis as well, we mentioned, I know for Dalton for sure, take advantage of being around Martin, being around Donaldson, being around Batista, being around Encarnacion. Watch how these guys study. Watch how they prepare. The greatest players work harder than anybody else, and they study more than anybody else. And I remember Dalton Pompey last year in September, you know, that night he faced Felix Hernandez. He was in early. He was studying film of Felix. I don't know if he was sitting on his changeup or not when he hit that home run, but no one told him to come in early, and he did it, whether he knew to do it or he watched some of the other players doing it. But these guys are examples, and they're role models, and we're starting to set a foundation and a base for them to be here for years to come, and we want good role models around them.
You mentioned your bullpen. It's taken a slightly different shape over the course of the first week than it had to start with. How do you feel about the way things have shaken down?
I like the bullpen. I mean, I know initially we talked a lot about Brett getting the opportunity to close, and that may very well have been the case. But I think after that first outing and Brett came out and talked about, look, I'm, you know, when he was being honest, I'm 2 weeks behind where I normally would be. I'm probably not as sharp as I need to be. You know, John decided to make the change. And we talked about in the spring, Miguel Castro had looked so good that our best bullpen would be with him in the ninth. Now Brett can be used in the eighth inning. You know, there's times where we have a three-run lead in the ninth, and Brett's more valuable with the man on third. Ortiz up at the plate, one out. We need the swing and miss rather than having him get three outs for us in the ninth. And our bullpen set up a lot better having him in those other innings. But we had all the confidence in the world that he could pitch the ninth if we needed him to. So we like the way it's starting to set up. Really encouraged by what I saw from Colt Hines. Thought Liam and Hendricks did a very good job. Todd Redmond's been very consistent for us the last 2 years, and Estrada has been a very solid reliever and starter. So I think it's starting to round into shape. We're eight deep. Hopefully we're going to cut down one at some point, but we'll ride these guys as long as we can.
You mentioned you have some budget flexibility. Do you expect to keep that budget flexibility until the trade deadline? Is it difficult or unlikely to do something prior to July?
I'd say unlikely prior to June. June, you start having some conversations really after the draft. Very few clubs are willing or are motivated to make a deal in April or May because of fan bases and so on. And I know we were having discussions on the plane with some of our staff, just trying to earmark how many teams are clearly have openly come out and said, we're going to rebuild. We're not planning on making the playoffs this year. This is a long-term goal. Those are probably the only clubs that you can meaningfully engage in trade dialogue right now. So I think we only counted two or three tops. So that being said, after the draft, people take stock of where they are. No one wants to pull the plug too early. The likelihood is any deals that come about will probably only start any type of dialogue in June.
Just a little update on guys left behind. Saunders, obviously, a little hamstring tweak, and Santana, we haven't talked about in a while. You know, just kind of what are the reports there?
I talked to Mike last night. He just felt a little tightness, and rather than take any chances at all, especially because he's just getting started in spring training, you don't have guys playing every day in spring training, as we all know. You play five innings, you get a day off, play five again, and then slowly build up to nine innings. So he felt a little bit of tightness, came in today. All the tests came back clean. He's fine. I expect him to only have today off and then get back at it tomorrow. Santana's still on his throwing program, continues to build up. He's not all the way there yet. We're going to reevaluate him at the end of the month. He has progressed, but not to the point that he's off a mound yet. And I would hope here by the end of the month we'll get him off a mound.
And then?
See where he's at. Obviously, we need to get him to get stretched out. There's so many steps along the way. Get him off a mound, up and down, multiple innings, into games. So it's going to be a long process, but obviously there's significant upside there as well.
But no setbacks physically. So
no,
far.
I think it's just been a little bit slower, and we told him we were going to go slow. And again, it's a minor league deal. There's not a penny guaranteed. You're paid at a daily rate. And from that standpoint, it's only upside for us. If we can get him on track and get him going, and he can help us at any point during the year, we will be thrilled.
Before we let you go, I know this is a question you're going to try and...
skate around?
Yeah, but that's okay. the three-year plan, we're in year three of the three-year plan. Are you more confident this year than you have been in either of the last 2 years with what you've got?
Yeah, I'd say we talked about 3 to 5 because we had Reyes for 5 years. And we had, obviously, Batista Encarnacion, I believe, for 4. But, you know, Burley was the one who was 3-year commitment. But the other guys were here a lot longer. You know, R.A. was here for 4. So I know 3 gets talked about, but
okay.
It was really a 5-year period. But in terms of confidence, everyone talks about windows and so on, and it seems like once we got Donaldson, everyone talked about, well, there's a new window now because of one player that we have for 4 years. And I don't know that there's any window that closes with the integration of the young players that we have, the more that we have on the way. We still have the 29th selection in the draft. We lost one with the Martin signing.
Yeah.
And I still believe Batista and Encarnacion have a chance to be here beyond the next 2 years. I think they both have a desire to be here. We're going to have to sit down and negotiate with both of them. We have every intention and desire of doing so. It'll be done behind closed doors. But I expect this to be a long run here of a very competitive club. And I think we're just going to continue to improve, especially with some of the youth.
But do you like this team this year?
Love this team. Love the makeup of this team. I came into the clubhouse early and just taking a look at the names. And I understand there's a lot of youth. Some of them will be sent down, and it won't be the end of the world. It'll be expected. Some will have bumps in the road. I love the combination of makeup, character, athleticism, tools, defense all over the ballpark. I think this is finally starting to become a team that we were hoping to build with guys with on-base percentages and contact ability, power arms in the bullpen, young upside starters with some established stars as well. I think it's a great mix, and it's finally starting to be a club that we were hoping to build all this time.
Well, we're glad you're healthy, because otherwise we wouldn't be talking to you.
And, it helps when you go 4-2.
I know you get opening day disease a lot.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Thanks a lot for stopping by.